tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Oh, if this is your first week here for the series, that is okay. We're going to catch you up. And if you've been here every single week, then that's awesome. You can give yourself a high five, pat on the back for being here every single week. So we've been asking a question of what good does me getting offended do? I mean, what difference does that really make? And we discovered that often we get offended about things. It doesn't really change the situation. It doesn't improve the world. It doesn't really help us. And so we've been looking at what are some healthy ways for us to handle offense whenever we encounter it. And the truth is, all of us are going to encounter offense. I mean, it's very easy to do. As soon as you get on social media, if you're in relationships with people, you're going to encounter offense. And the truth is, it's not just what people do to us. We sometimes offend other people. And today, we're going to be looking at a text of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul. He was a follower of Jesus, and he was writing to a group of believers, helping them to know, okay, now that I have Jesus, how should I live? And he's addressing the topic of what happens whenever we get offended. What happens when someone just is a jerk? What happens when someone is just gets on our nerves? What happens when someone hurts us deeply? And so we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, if you're new to Next Level, we're going to do something that may be different for you. But we're all going to stand together, and we're going to read this verse together. And then we get to the end, we get to the reference where it says Colossians 3. Who knows what we're going to do next? .13. That's right. Pastor Rob teaches us to do that, and now like I'm reading my Bible at home. I even want to go .. So we're going to read it loud and proud. If you would, join me as we read the scripture together. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Colossians 3, .13. You guys are awesome. Let's pray together. Father, these moments belong to you. Every moment that we have belongs to you. And we just come to you right now and say that we want to hear from you. We want to be changed. We want to be people that reflect you, people that when the world looks at us, that they see something different in this area of forgiveness. I pray that you would help tear down any barriers that keep us from forgiveness, and that and we will see as we are obedient to you that we will receive healing. I pray that people today that they will be changed, just as we sang that, Jesus, you change everything. We believe that that can happen right here, right now. So we go ahead and give our yes to you. We say yes to whatever you want to say to us, that we will be obedient, and pray that you pour out your blessing on us as we obey you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're talking about what do we do when offense knocks? And here's the big idea. I want to go ahead and give it to you right here at the beginning of the service, that when offense knocks, answer with forgiveness. That when the offense comes knocking at your door, and it's going to happen, we all have a choice of how we're going to respond to it. I mean, it offense comes and it's like, then it gets really annoying. Dunk, 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 dunk. You're like, what? And you get angry. That's often a response. Or we get bitter, or we have resentment. Or we want to get back at people whenever they come at us. But Paul is showing us that the way of Jesus is a different way, that when offense comes to our doorstep and it knocks on our door, that we're going to make the choice to forgive instead. Now, as soon as we start talking about forgiveness, some of you might already have some objections being raised up in your heart and mind. And you're thinking, okay, I can forgive these people, but there's this one person, I can't let go of it. And you may be thinking, they hurt me so deeply, and they hurt me in such a way that I don't think I can forgive them. And I want to show you today, we're going to see some of the things that hold us back from forgiveness. And I hope that you'll see today from today's scripture that God is calling us to forgive anyone and everyone for an offense. And that in doing so, is one of the most powerful ways that we're reflective of the love that our Heavenly Father had for us in forgiving us for all of our offenses. So I'd like to jump back into our scripture. Let's look at just the very first part of it, Colossians 3:13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance for each other's faults. It's the idea of, some translations say, bear with one another's faults. And that means that you stand up against it when people offend us, that we don't just fall over so easily, or another way to think of it is we leave room for people's faults. In case you haven't figured this out, every person that you're in relationship with, every person you ever encountered has been known to offend other people. And the same is true not just for everybody else, but it's also true for us, that we've offended other people. I love this quote from Bob Goff. This is what he says. He says, love difficult people. You are one of them. I mean, we often think of difficult people being everybody else, but if we really admit it, all of us are difficult people in some way. That sometimes we're on the other side of this. We're the ones actually perpetuating hurt and pain and offense. And then sometimes we receive it in our lives. And so this first part is Paul says, if we can, let's make room for one another's faults. The fact is, if you're going to choose to be in relationship with people, that means that sometimes you're going to be hurt. And you're going to hurt other people. And we need to have an expectation. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, it is to one's glory. This is Proverbs 19:11. It says, it's to one's glory to overlook an offense. So this first part is just showing us that if possible, when somebody says or does something that offends you, is it possible for you to say, you know what, I know people are broken, I'm just going to let that go. And if that can happen, that's incredible. That means that offense isn't taking root in your heart. And I'll give you a little bit of a story or an illustration about what it means to make room. So let's imagine for a second that you have to be at work at 8 a.m. and you live 15 minutes away from the place that you work. Now, some of you are like, I would love to only live 15 minutes away from where I work. But in this scenario, you're 15 minutes away. And so you leave at 7:45 in the morning on your 15-minute trek. And you get in the car, and since this scenario, I'll use it from where I live. I live on a dirt road, and lots of animals are there. As soon as you pull out, you start driving. All of a sudden, there is a turtle in the middle of the road. And you're the kind of person that, you know, you don't like to just, like, kill turtles because you're like, what? Turtles don't hurt people. I'm going to help them out. You can't wait for them because it's going to take him forever. And so you get out and you move him and you're like, all right, peace. All right, thanks, turtle. And you keep going. And now you speed up a little bit because you're a little bit behind, but you can make up for it. And you get onto the main road and you're driving. And then all of a sudden someone pulls out in front of you. But instead of speeding up so that, you know, it makes you feel good, they pull out. Nope, they go slow. I'm talking about crazy slow. Now, some of you have had this experience and you feel your blood boiling like right now. You're like, ugh, and you start to feel like this. Get out of the way, I'm late to work. And what probably happened is now you're going to be late to work because of the turtle and because of this person that's driving slow, this person that you probably have said, oh, this idiot, I can't believe they're driving so slow. And you're mad at that person, and you're like, you're making me late for work, when that's not really the case. The reason you're late for work is because you didn't leave any room, right? You said, I've got 15 minutes to get there, I'll leave 15 minutes ahead, But what, just like when we're driving, we expect that people are going to drive bad sometimes, right? I mean, we expect that we're going to need more time, so I'm going to leave 30 minutes ahead or 45 minutes, whatever you think you need. And then you've got time for the turtle, you've got time for the person going slow, you're like, take your time, I'm good, right? But in our lives, we're sometimes like that we don't leave any room for other people to make mistakes. We don't leave any space for other people to have faults. But isn't that what we want from other people? Right? When we fall short, we want a little bit of grace. a little bit of space where we can fall short and we can offend people and they still love us, but often we don't want to do that for other people. So the first part is Paul says, hey, let's make allowance. Let's recognize that everybody that we're dealing with is fallen and broken and hurting, and they hurt other people just like I do. And if that can happen, there may be a lot of offenses that we can just look over. But what happens when you can't do that? That the offense is of such that maybe it's a repeated thing that's happened over and over and over, or maybe it's just something that is very personal to you. It hit your issue. Y'all know we all have issues, right? That is like our pet peeve, our thing, that as soon as somebody does it, it's like they hit a hornet's nest with us, and immediately we start feeling anger and everything rising up. Well, because of that, the scripture continues on, and this is what we read. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults, and what's the next word? Forgive anyone who offends you. So here's where our problem comes in. I think we're okay with forgiving. We're just not okay with the next word. Anyone. See, we want something that gives us an out. Because we're thinking, you know, okay, anyone can't really mean anyone. Because surely when the Apostle Paul was writing this, he did not know the kind of pain that was caused to me by that person. Or if he did, he wouldn't have said that. But what I want to show you is that the forgiving anyone who offends you is just that. That any person that offends you for any reason, that it is a call to forgive. Now, in order for you to embrace that, because this might be the barrier, this is why some of you have experienced offense from someone, and maybe for years you have not let go of it. And one of the reasons you might not have let go of it is because you might be holding on to some false ideas about unforgiveness. I mean, and about forgiveness. Look at this quote. I love this. I think it's so true. What happens when we hold on to it? It says, most of the ground that Satan gains in the lives of Christians is due to unforgiveness. Even if you don't like the word most, just say many, or many areas of our life get messed up because we hold on to unforgiveness. Here's why I think this is true. Someone offends me, and I don't let it go. Instead, what I do is it often turns into anger. Anger toward that person. And then as anger has time to stew for a while, then that anger transforms into bitterness. And bitterness becomes resentment. Resentment becomes hate. Hate becomes a desire for revenge and to get back at people. And what started as a single offense has now caused all of this nastiness to start to live inside of us. And it doesn't just affect the relationship with that person, but it changes us. Now if other people offend us in similar ways, we move through those steps so much faster, straight to anger, straight to bitterness. We want to get people back. And in our minds we say, Jesus says, hey, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, that do harm to you. But because we've let this unforgiveness settle in our heart, it's so hard for us to actually do that. And so we want to pay back evil for evil, offense for offense. So I think that quote is just so on to it. So what are some of the lies that we believe that actually keep us from forgiving people? I want to talk about four of them this morning. And my hope is that as we uncover these lies and see what the truth is, that you'll see that this call to forgive anyone for any offense, of how powerful this could be in our lives and in the lives of people that we encounter. So let's look at the four lies we believe about forgiveness. Here's the first one. Forgiving means forgetting. The lie goes like this. If you've really forgiven somebody, it'll be wiped out of your mind. But most of us know that if offense really has hurt us, can you just forget about it? Does it just erase out of your memory? Does the pain just go away? No, see, this is a lie. And see, some of us, we even maybe have a Bible verse in our mind that we've misinterpreted or misunderstood. And the Bible verse says this, is as far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our sins from us and he remembers them no more. We're like, well, see, God doesn't remember our sin. But see, that's a mistake. God doesn't forget our sin. God doesn't have a memory lapse. He doesn't erase his memory. He's the all-knowing God that knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. What that passage means is that when God looks at our sin, he removes it so that when he views us, he no longer views us through that lens. He no longer sees us through the lens of our shortcomings and our mistakes and our offenses. To say that God remembers no more, it means I'm not going to make this a part of our relationship anymore. Instead, I'm going to view you through the lens of my son Jesus, and I'm going to see you with eyes of forgiveness. That's what that passage means. So in the same way, with God calling us to forgive, it doesn't mean it's going to be erased from your mind. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have that pain. It doesn't mean that the hurt's going to go away. It doesn't mean that you're not going to remember it. There's going to be things in your life that are going to trigger those feelings again. As a bonus to this one, connected to it, is another lie is we sometimes think that forgiveness is a one-time act. Forgiveness is not simply a one-time act. Forgiveness is something that you have to revisit. You may have legitimately chosen to forgive someone, but then maybe they do it again. Or something in your mind just makes you remember what happened to you. And in that moment, it doesn't mean you didn't forgive genuinely the first time. What it means is you're now going to have to choose to forgive again. He says, God, I chose to forgive them the first time, and I'm choosing to keep forgiving them. So forgiving is not forgetting. It's remembering what was done with you, but then choosing not to hold it against the person. So that's the first lie that we believe. Here's the second one. Forgiving lets the offender off the hook. If I forgive them, they're going to think that what they did was okay. If I forgive someone, basically what I'm saying is it was no big deal about what you did. But the truth is that we know that when people offend us, that it is a big deal. And that is, you're not letting someone off the hook simply because you forgive them. When you forgive someone, you're not saying it's okay, what you did was okay. It's not ignoring the hurt, it's not ignoring the pain. When God looks at us and the ways that we've offended him, he doesn't ignore it. He doesn't act like that we didn't make a mistake. So when we forgive other people, we're not letting them off the hook. Forgiveness doesn't even mean that there's not going to be consequences for what happened. Do you know it's possible for forgiveness and justice, forgiveness and consequences to stay together? It doesn't erase one. I'll tell you a story. How many of you remember, this is a number of years back, that there was a white man that came to a black church in Charleston. He sat through their whole prayer service, and then he proceeded to open fire and murder many of the people. Do y'all remember that story? Well, I recently was listening to a podcast where a guy was interviewing someone that did a documentary on that. It's going to be coming out in the next couple of months. And in this documentary, the guy tells the story about how the survivors from that event and some of the family members, that they were there at the guy that was in going through the court process. And when they were given the opportunity to speak, that none of them had planned to do this, but being believers in Jesus, they said that the Holy Spirit took over them. And one by one, they began pronouncing forgiveness to this guy. It's kind of an amazing story that I believe that only Jesus can empower us to have that kind of forgiveness. Now, here's the thing about it. It wasn't like the judge heard that and said, oh, y'all forgive him? Okay, cool, let's let him out. He still had to be punished for what he did, right? So forgiveness and justice and forgiveness and consequences, they can go hand in hand. So just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you're saying what they did was okay. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I want to be obedient to you, and I want to offer. I don't want this hate to fester in my heart, because y'all know that it does something to us. So it's not letting people off the hook. It's not condoning. It's not excusing wrongdoing when you forgive someone. Here's the third lie that we believe. Forgiveness has to be earned. This is how that works. This is how you know that whether you want to admit it or not, you have this idea that people have to earn your forgiveness. If you say, I'll forgive them when, fill in the blank. I'll forgive them when they actually come to me and apologize. I'll forgive them when they admit that they've done wrong. I'll forgive them when they make up for it by... But see, that's not how forgiveness works. And this is where it's important for us to learn the difference between two things that are spoken of in Scripture. Forgiveness and reconciliation. They're related, but they're different. And here's the difference. Forgiveness is a one-way interaction. When someone's offended me and I choose to forgive, that's what God's calling me to. It just has to do with me. I'm forgiving them, not because they've said they're sorry, not because they own up to it. And the truth is, have you ever had it where maybe you came to someone and says, I forgive you, and they're like, I didn't ask you to forgive me. Or maybe they even just say, what did I do? I didn't do anything to you. See, we don't forgive people because they've earned it, because they've apologized, because they've groveled and just admitted all their wrong, because they've changed their life. Forgiveness is what we offer to people no matter how they respond, even if they never ask for it. Reconciliation, on the other hand, is a two-way movement. Reconciliation requires not only me to forgive, but for the other person to admit they're wrong. So it takes one person to forgive, but it takes two to reconcile. And God, I mean, the desire would be that reconciliation could happen, but this passage doesn't say you're responsible for that. You're only responsible for you. Because the truth is, there's going to be people that hurt you, and you'll spend your whole life waiting for an apology, and you never will get it. You'll spend your whole life waiting. And so forgiveness is not something that has to be earned. Forgiveness is a one-way act. It's not conditioned on anything, not an apology, not an admission of guilt. We do it because it's what God has done for us. It releases us. It releases something in our heart. We say, I'm not going to let this unforgiveness fester within me and become something that is not good for me. So I'm going to let it go. Here's the last one. Here's the last lie that we believe about forgiveness. I'm sure there could be more. Forgiveness requires me to erase boundaries. So sometimes in our lives we have to put up boundaries because people have hurt us, and a boundary is our way of saying, I'm not going to allow you to continue hurting me in the way that you did. And sometimes people think that if I forgive someone, that forgiveness means that I now have to erase those boundaries. But that's not always the case. That goes back to, I don't believe that boundaries get erased until you've had true reconciliation with someone. So there may be someone that you had someone that was abusive to you in your life, and you got to a point where you separated yourself and you said, no, I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to protect my family, and you're not allowed here. And you can say, I choose to forgive you for what you've done, but right now I don't trust you. And that's okay. And the problem is sometimes people even use forgiveness to manipulate people. They'd say, if you really forgave me, then you'd let me back into your life exactly how I was before. Can I tell you that's just manipulation? That's misusing forgiveness. No, see, sometimes we can look, and wisdom tells us that a person that's habitually hurt us over and over and over, we're always called to forgive them, but it might mean that their relationship and how we relate to them is going to be different. Until maybe in the future that there's been repentance and change and a new pattern where trust can be rebuilt. So forgiving doesn't mean that you erase boundaries, erase consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean you forgot it. It doesn't mean that you're letting somebody off the hook. It's none of these things. That's the reason our verse today says this. Look back at Colossians 3:13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. See, this radical command, if we understand what forgiveness is and what it's not, then we'll see that God calls us that no matter what the offense is, no matter what's happened to us, and as I've been talking today, you may have an idea in your mind. You may have something that you've been holding on to for a long time, and I believe what God's calling you to do is to release that through forgiveness. I mean, it could be a broken relationship that you've had with a parent for a really long time. And maybe today you need to say, I forgive you. Maybe it was a former spouse that hurt you in deep ways. And you've been holding on to it because maybe somehow you feel like that by holding on to it that you are punishing the other person, but the only person it's punishing is you. And it's just harming your relationship with your Heavenly Father. An offense with someone that used to be a close friend, but they did that thing that you just couldn't believe they did. They said that thing you just couldn't believe they said. What is it that you're holding on to today? So once we get to this part, notice what the last part of this verse says. It says, remember. Remember. This is where Paul brings out the strongest argument. He says, I'm going to show you how we can have the motivation to forgive anyone. Because remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Do you see how that works? The God of the universe looked down at each and every one of us. He breathed life into us. He chose for us to be here so that we could have a relationship with him. But all of us in our own ways have offended him. When God says, this is how I want you to live, we say, I know better than you. I don't want to do that. So we say no when God tells us to say yes. And then we say yes when God's told us to say no. And we've offended him. The God who gave us everything, we sometimes have acted like he didn't matter. And our offenses are just piled up and piled up and piled up and piled up. And it's not just ours. Could you imagine an entire world building up their offenses to the God of the universe? And he would have had every right just to wipe us off and say, I don't want anything to do with you. But instead of doing that, he does what's absolutely unthinkable. What's unimaginable. Scripture says that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So the God of the universe came down to be with us, to walk with us, to live the life that we never lived, and to die a death that we deserve, so that all the offense and the ugliness of the world was poured out onto Jesus. And he absorbed that in himself so that he could come to us, not because we made up for our faults, not because we made up for our offenses, but to look at us and say, I forgive you. No matter what you've done. Isn't that pretty radical? See, there may be someone that's in here today and you legitimately have, you look at your life and you think there are things that have been done that you've got to somehow make it up with God and there's no way he would forgive you, but that's what's so radical about Jesus is he says, you bring your worst to me and I'm willing to forgive you. And so we're called to remember. That's the kind of radical forgiveness that's been given to us. And if the God of the universe, there is not an offense that can happen to you or I that God himself has not experienced from us. And he says, I forgive, so therefore you forgive. The same radical forgiveness that's been offered to us, we're now called to offer it to other people. And now let me just say that maybe you're here today for the very first time and you've not had that moment that you remember the moment when Jesus forgave you. And I just want to tell you today on this Father's Day, this can be the day where the God of the universe looks at you and offers you forgiveness and says, I can give you this kind of forgiveness. I'll give it to you. All you do, just ask me for it. It's available. Because I believe that until you have the forgiveness from the Father, that you're not going to be able to offer it to other people. I want to share two quick stories with you. Number one, there was a guy I knew. His name was Calvin. Calvin was older, and he had gotten divorced about 40 years before. And we were talking about Jesus, and he had got kicked out of the Catholic Church because of his divorce and all of this, and hadn't been in church in really a long time. And Calvin, we start talking about Jesus, and he asked me, he says, "Do I have to forgive my ex-wife?" And we talked about that. He says, "Because Jesus says that if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. So what's up with that?" I said, "Well," I said, "what Jesus is saying is if we've truly experienced the forgiveness from him, then we're going to be willing to forgive anybody no matter what they've done." He says, "I don't know if I want to do that." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'll think about this." And so weeks go by, weeks and weeks. And then one day, Calvin calls me and he just says, "I did it." "Did what?" "I have no idea what you're talking about." He said, I asked Jesus to forgive me. I said, "Well, did he?" He said, "Yeah, he definitely did." I said, "I know." I said, "That's amazing." And so we celebrated about him coming to faith in Jesus and his journey of getting there. So some time goes on, and a few weeks go by, and Calvin comes up to me again, and he said, "I made a phone call." I said, "To who?" He said, "To my ex-wife." And he said, "We talked, and I just wanted to let her know that God had forgiven me, and I asked her to forgive me, and I told her I forgave her." 40-plus years. I don't believe that could have happened apart from the work of Jesus in his heart. Because he understood that the unforgivable in him had been forgiven. And he was willing to do it for someone else. I'd like to close with a little bit of a historical story, I think, that brings all this together. There's a lady named Corey Ten Boom. She writes about her story in The Hiding Place. And during World War II, her and her family would hide Jews to keep them from going to concentration camps and being killed. But eventually, they were captured themselves. And so they were put into a concentration camp. And during that time, her sister was murdered in the concentration camp. Well, years later, she was a follower of Jesus, and she was at a church in Germany, and she was speaking about the forgiveness of God. And after she finished speaking, she saw a man coming forward to her, and immediately she recounts this and says that clearly he did not remember her, but she says, "I remembered him," because he had been a guard at where she had been in the concentration camp, and not just any guard, he was the very one that he saw put her sister to death. And he comes walking forward to her, and I'll pick up of her recounting of the story. He says, "I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein." Again, the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, and it raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. That's the forgiveness that we're called to. So here's today's win. The win is how you apply what we've been talking about. It's pretty simple. Choose to forgive when you're offended. Maybe it's an offense you've been holding on to a long time. Maybe today's the day that it's time to release it and to prepare our hearts to always, whenever offense knocks, to open the door to answer it with forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments, and I pray that you will help us to be people of forgiveness. Help us to be obedient to you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let us be a people who are known as those who don't hold on to our offenses, but instead that we forgive those who have offended us. Thanks for being here. Have a happy Father's Day. We'll see you guys next week.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.